I wonder if we could turn in our Bible today to the 11th chapter of Genesis. It's kind of an unusual place to start today, but I've been thinking on Abraham and the call of Abraham. So I'm going to read a few verses here in the 11th chapter, and then we'll go to a couple verses in the 12th chapter. So start in verse 27. Actually, we go back. Let's go back to verse 25, I guess. Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishak. But Sarah was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, his son, of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Amen. Now, if you just give me a second here, I'm going to put these up on the board. Okay. This is the genealogy, all right? This is the family tree, and there are many others that are not on this list. By the way, this unknown name here, a daughter of Haran. There's two daughters. There's Milcah and Isha and Lot. This is a female here, too. Josephus. Anybody ever hear of Josephus? The great historian that lived back in the days of Christ, I guess. He actually lived at the time that Jerusalem was being destroyed by the Romans. He wrote the history of it, but he was a real historian. He wrote, looked into a lot of things. Of course, he lived 2,000 years ago, had access to things that we don't have. Anyway, he says that this woman here is actually Sarah. Huh? Another name for her. Oh. So when Abraham said to Abimelech, she is my sister, not of the same mother, but of the same father. So in one sense, when they talk about their father, sometimes they're talking about a grandfather. Do you understand what I'm saying? So her grandfather would be the same man as Abraham's father. I'm not saying it's Sarah, but there are. It's not just Josephus. There's another one that was named that also claims the same thing. All right, now, here's what God said to Abraham in Genesis 12. Get thee out of thy country, thy kindred, and thy father's house. Can we write that over here? Country, kindred, father's house. So how did Abraham do on that? Let me read on here a little bit. It says, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I think it's kind of interesting that they went to Haran. Now, by the way, they left Ur of the Chaldeans earlier. And the New Testament calls this name Haran, Charan. If you read it in the book of Acts, it's the word Charan. I thought it kind of interesting that the name of the town that they left was named the same name as Abraham's brother. Okay? The father of Lot. Is that a coincidence? And they say that if you go over into the Mideast, that there is still a town there that can be identified as Haran. A little village of some sort. And somebody said it still has the same name. Now, where did God want him to leave from? What did he want him to leave? He left what? What was his country? His country was called what? Ur of the Chaldeans. I'll call it Chaldees. Where is Ur of the Chaldees? Anybody have any idea? Mesopotamia. It's basically what would have later been called Babylon and probably was earlier called Babylon and what today you might actually still refer to as Babylon.
Right.
So, several things. One is he wanted him out of his country. He wanted him out of his kindred. Would we say this is his kindred?
Amen.
That's kindred, isn't it?
Right.
And his father's house. So what could we identify as his father's house? His father, right? Would Lot be included in his father's house? So he left Ur of the Chaldees and he went to Haran. And he left Haran at the age of 75. So the question might be asked, and we don't really know, when did he leave Ur of the Chaldees? Can we say he might have left as much as 10 years earlier? He might have been 65 when he left Ur of the Chaldees. Doesn't say when he left, but what we do know is that when he left, he took his father, Terah, and Lot. Haran was dead, right? He died young. So he took Lot, his father, his wife, and that's kind of his father's house, isn't it? He took a good portion of his father's house with him. He didn't take all his kindred because all his kindred... This is probably the only one of his kindred that he didn't take with him that we know of would be Nahor, right? And we don't know whether Nahor had already given birth to Milcah or whoever. Now, in all probability, his father, Terah, if what Abraham said is true, he also had a second wife of some sort because he says that Sarah was born to another mother. So if Josephus is wrong, these guys are not only, today we would call it incestuous, but they were also polygamous. And Abraham apparently didn't intend to become polygamous. He wanted to stick with just Sarah, but in the course of time, he sort of fell into the polygamy thing too. If we can call Hagar, the Egyptian girl.
Yeah.
Okay? So what we have here is Babylonians. He brings in an Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all things that God is eventually going to consider unclean.
Right.
He's trying to separate Abraham from this nest, this system. Now, by the way, these are all Semites. Let me just say, they're all Semites, okay? They come from Shem, okay? You can trace it back if you want in the 11th chapter. Six or seven generations back from Nahor, you come back to Shem, okay? And then, of course, before Shem would be Noah, of course. So it's from that line that all these people come from. Okay, so let me try to guesstimate here some dates. Let's say they left here when he would be about 65. And they had to wait for Terah to die. How old was Terah? I've got it on your thing, don't I? 205 years old. Now, now maybe they thought that Terah would only live 148 years like his father. The living of 200 years had sort of passed away. People were only living to be a tender young age of, say, 140 or something like that. But they weren't living to be 200 anymore. So Abraham apparently left. He said, well, I'll take Dad with me. We'll go a little ways. Dad isn't going to live much longer. Well, Dad lived quite a while. Dad lived 205 years. So they went part way. How many of you know God doesn't want us to go part way?
Right, all the way.
They went to Haran. Haran is, help me out here. Does anybody remember where Haran is? It's kind of in the northern part, a little bit north of Israel, as I recall. Somewhere in the Syria area. Anybody got an old map there on your... I'm trying to remember where it is. I think it's in the Syria area. Are you the scholar here? But it doesn't say where. These are more modern names. Yeah. Okay, so he goes part way, and then at the age of 75, they leave Haran. And it's at this point, now he is separating from what? He's separating from his father now, okay? At the age of 75. You know, sometimes you got to wonder, why did not Abraham receive the promise until he was 99 years old and 100? Why? Why did it take so long? Could God have fulfilled the promise to Abraham back here when he was maybe 50?
Yep.
40? I don't know. He could have been fairly young when God first said, get out of the land of the Chaldees from Ur. Mm-hmm. Leave your father's house. Now, what kind of business was his father in? Does anybody remember?
Idol maker.
No, he wasn't a brick maker. He wasn't a construction guy. He wasn't a salesman. He wasn't a merchant, except for merchandising idols.
Oh, right.
He was an idol maker. And I think the whole family, it was probably a family business. Maybe they kept a few sheep on the side, but the main business was making idols and selling them to the locality. So if they were making idols, it meant that they were worshiping other gods.
Right.
Which meant that the Lord God, whom Shem had followed, and Pelug, and some of those in coming down the line, apparently the true God was almost a forgotten thing now in the days of Abram. I call him Abram because he was still Abram,
right,
back here.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Come out of your father's house. All right, so he finally got out of his father's house because his father died.
Yeah, but prior to that, his father led him.
Yes, his father was the one. So, okay, Abraham, you got a word to go? All right, here, I'll tell you where we're going to go. We're going to Haran. But Haran isn't what God had in mind. So God had to wait until the old man died. He said, well, God could have hastened the process. No, he didn't. God's just waiting. He's waiting for man to get it right. Now, let me go back to the word here. It says, for God had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. All right? Now, a land that I will show thee means that God is saying, I will show you. Not a land that your father will show you. You're supposed to have left your father behind. Now, we've got some lessons here. We can take them one at a time. It's called the hold of family. Does anybody know what we're talking about? Family, kindred. Let's take family and kindred first. They're actually two separate things, but family and kindred are pretty close. Do we ever put family and kindred ahead of God? Do believers ever do it? Nobody's excited to tell me here. Do we all have a problem with this?
What was the question?
I said, do we ever put family and kindred ahead of God?
No.
No?
No. I'm sure we have. I try not to. I mean, I believe, no, I try to make the Lord first.
What do we put ahead of God? You know, I'm going to say something. It's funny because we don't ever see ourselves as we really are.
No, he sees us the way he wants to see us.
We think that we put God first. But when you sit back and really analyze it, what keeps you away? Many, many times.
I read my scriptures every day and every night and stuff, and I thank the Lord.
Many, many times, it's the hold of kindred. Many times, it's the hold. You know, there was a man that came to Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, okay, come ahead. Come and follow me. And what did the man say?
He
said, let me bury my father.
Hey.
Which is exactly what Abraham was saying. Let me bury my father. Now, the father wasn't dead waiting for somebody to bury him. You know, in other words, as soon as I bury dad tomorrow at the funeral, I'll be right there. No, what the man meant was, you have to wait for my father to die. I've got this inheritance, you know, and I have to settle my inheritance. I have to settle my legal problems, you know, and my brother's involved and my sister's involved. And we've got a real thing. We've got a really, you know, dad is working this out. And, you know, he's only going to live a few more years. He's got some disease. No. Jesus said, what was his answer?
I left my family.
No. What was Jesus' answer to the man? Let the dead bury the dead. Now, we can understand this quite clearly insofar as our past history. What about our children?
I don't think he told you to leave your children.
How about when they get to be adults and they can take care of themselves?
Right.
What?
When they get to be rebellious.
What about when they're not rebellious? But they don't see it the way you see it. Are you still going to go on? What about when your children say, well, listen, we really need to have a family gathering next Sunday at 10 a.m. Which one are you going to go for? Who's going to rule? I mean, does that apply? They say, well, it's just one day. It really doesn't matter. But you know what? Children, listen, I wouldn't have believed this 30 years ago. I would not have believed this. But children can put a lot of pressure on you.
Yes, they can.
They can put a lot of pressure that they want to do it this way. Dad, you're crazy. What are you doing that for? Why are you following that? You know? Mother says, son, this is not the way you were taught. This is not the way you worship God. Son, you're spending all your money on that. What's wrong with you? Or dad. All right, so Abraham had a hard time leaving his kindred. Actually, after Terah died, was he then completely delivered of kindred? He was delivered from his father's house then, okay?
Right.
Shall we say his father's house?
Right.
Was he delivered from kindred?
No, he had Lot.
He had this fellow here.
Yep, he had Lot.
He had Lot.
Yep.
And did he misunderstand God or what?
God said it was okay.
He thought, well, it's okay. I mean, Lot's going with me. There's no problem. I mean, if they want to follow me, what's the problem? I'll just take Lot with me. How'd it work out with Lot?
At the end.
Let's go to Genesis chapter 13. Things are moving pretty fast here. Genesis chapter 13. Now, you see, Abraham had a little journey in Egypt at one point. Egypt is not where God told him to go. When he got into Canaan land, God said, okay, here's the place that I'm going to bless you now. And Abraham looked around and things went well for a little while. But after a while, there was a famine. And things got pretty hard. And so Abram thought in his own mind, well, I've heard that things are pretty good down in Egypt. You know, they got a nice Nile River there, you know, they can irrigate and everything. So let's move on down to Egypt and see what we can find down there. But you see, that isn't the place. Here's God, okay? Back in the 12th chapter, it says, I will make a great nation of thee, verse 2, and bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. He didn't say thou and Lot shall be a blessing. All right? He said, thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Little postscript there. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gotten, and all the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So the land of Canaan was where God had sent them. So now we come to verse 10. Abram, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. You know, I wonder if God really wanted people to escape to Egypt and places like that when there's a famine. If God planted somebody somewhere, do you suppose he wanted them to stay there?
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think it was the will of God for him to go down to Egypt?
No.
Problem with Elkanah.
I was thinking of him. Elkanah, the father of Mahlon and Chilion, one of whom married Ruth. Actually, Naomi was Elkanah's wife.
Yeah.
And Ruth became a daughter-in-law. Where did they go? They went down into the land of Moab.
Yeah, because there was a famine in Israel.
Again, these are, I'm going to say, illegitimate sons of Lot. Again, born because somebody did not believe that God was able to bring up seed to Lot. Lot's wife had turned to a pillar of salt. She was not certainly going to have any more children, not as a pillar of salt. And so the daughters are left, had enough faith to get out of Sodom with Lot, But now, these tribes, you know the tribes I'm talking about? The Moabites and the Ammonites were nothing but trouble to Israel. Read their history. Nothing but trouble. Fighting them? Yes, just harassing them. What about Ishmael? What do we know about Ishmael?
Terrorist.
You're bringing it right up to today. But let's go back to Joseph's time, okay? Ishmaelites were the slave traders that took Joseph down to Egypt.
Right.
Ishmaelites.
Right.
And what about Esau? What about this fella? These are called Edomites. And they lived in what was called Mount Seir. And were they peaceful people? Loving Israel? No. God told them, Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, He said, you leave the Edomites alone, you leave the Ammonites, and you leave the Moabites alone because they're your kindred. And as a reward for leaving them alone, they would frequently attack the Israelites. Try to kill them. So this is this kindred mess that God is trying to bring Abraham out of. Looking at this, what kind of spirits do you think, familial spirits, do you think were following this family line? Give me an idea what kind of familial issues they might have had to deal with. Somebody said incestuous. So could we say there might have been some sexual uncleanness in this line?
Yes.
Let's just make a list here. Sexual uncleanness. What about what we know about the Ishmaelites and the Ammonites and the Moabites? What do we know about them? Larry said terrorists.
Murders.
Thieves. All right. Murder. Thieves. We know that the Ishmaelites didn't mind buying and selling people.
Right.
Slave traders.
Right.
And when we get to old Uncle Laban, what do we know about Uncle Laban? Idolatry? Oh my, we should have mentioned that a long time ago. What else do we know about Uncle Laban? And Jacob, of course, too. We got to include Jacob in this, too.
He was betrayed.
They were cheaters. Cheaters. Yeah, cheaters. Do you think they could do that through a legal method? Think they could do it through lawyers?
Yep.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get a good lawyer and he'll cheat you too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, Laban, how many... Jacob said that he changed his wages how many times? Do you remember? Was it 7 times he changed his wages?
I think it was.
And he deceived him about marrying Rachel.
Right.
I mean, he waits until they've had a little something to drink and everybody's tired, and then at night, with a hood over her face, they bring Leah in to the tent, and Jacob, and they're consummated, and now they're married. There's nothing he can do about it.
Right.
But I wanted Rachel.
Right.
But you got Leah instead.
Right.
Well, so you can have both now. Now you got to work for me for free for 7 more years.
That's awful.
So, I mean, this is a family that finds every possible way to extract everything they can out of you.
Yeah.
They're gonna wring every nickel, every dime, every dollar out of you that they can possibly get out of you. Do you see the legacy that they left for their for these 12 tribes now?
Yeah, some of them are still out there.
We could go a long ways with this. Yeah.
We
could go a long ways. But we can go a long ways with this Ishmael business too, and this Esau business, can't we?
Blood didn't stop.
These are the people here that are in the Mideast right now.
Right.
And a couple of their kind were just released from Guantanamo prison here yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Five
of them.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Terrorists.
Leave it up to Obama.
Okay, so how many of you believe that God wants to deliver us from our familial spirits?
Amen.
Now, we know about their familial spirits.
Right.
What about our familial spirits?
Yes, amen.
What do you know about your background? You don't have to tell me.
I wouldn't.
I know more about yours than you know about mine, because yours is a historical record. Her grandfather was the whatever title of Germany.
Kaiser.
The Kaiser. Yeah, so we know a little about her. Well, no, that was before Hitler. But it was something
Hitler
anyway.
Was this.
Yeah.
Not him. Not my grandfather.
How many? Okay, so we're kind of getting into country now here too, aren't we?
Oh yeah.
Are you Puerto Rican?
Yeah.
Oh, but.
I'm a mixed.
Okay. How many of you are German? Oh my goodness, a lot of. A lot of Germans here. You're not German, brother?
Deutsch. Close to it, I guess.
Deutsch?
Yeah.
Well, the word Deutsch is the German word that they use.
Right.
It's not Dutch. The Germans call themselves Deutschland.
Deutschland, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that one. Yeah.
My brother used to think we were Dutch, but we're not Dutch. We're Germans.
Okay. I better put my hand up now.
Yeah. Okay, that's in the natural. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh.
Right.
Okay. You know what? I'm not going to be a German anymore.
The child of God.
I'm an American. Am I?
Yeah,
am I an American?
Yeah, you are.
No. No, no,
well,
no,
you're
no.
Born in America.
No, but I, you see...
Child of light.
I don't want to be identified as
with
an American.
System as the system goes, I got you.
I know. Listen, I know that when I go abroad... I have to have a passport, and the passport says that I live in the United States of America, and I'm a citizen there. However, if I could make my own passport, I would have a passport that said, Kingdom of God.
Right, I got it.
Because I don't want to go to the Philippines and act like an American. I don't want to go to Africa and have them believe that I am acting like an American. Do you understand what I say?
Yes.
No, I'm not ashamed, but this American has a spirit that goes with it. German has a spirit that goes with it.
Yeah.
What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that somebody is German and that they come from the 1940s?
Bad.
That they're a warring,
Nazis.
Fighting
they're
people.
Nazis.
They're an aggressive people.
Yeah.
They're a people that will take over their neighbors if they have a chance. Yeah. They're the people that would invade France. They'll invade England. They'll invade...
They're killers.
Wherever,
they're,
you know.
Foreign killers.
So I don't want that. I don't want those spirits to follow me. In other words, I want to overcome those aggressive spirits. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, well now I can say, well, I'm not really German. My people were Mennonites and Amish. Oh, we're peaceful people. Oh, really? Is that the spirit I want?
Not no more.
You really don't know them very well then, do you?
No.
because they've got lots of problems they've got lots of familial spirits there too, and I'm not going to go and list them all. But I know what they are.
I do too.
And I know that there are sins.
Yeah.
No matter how pious they appear, there are sins that follow these people, and there are sins that follow them from generation to generation to generation. And what God is asking us to do, brethren, is we're going to overcome those spirits. Amen? We're going to overcome those German spirits. We're going to overcome these American spirits. What do people associate, what people abroad, what might they associate with us being American?
Aggressive.
Aggressive, arrogant, money. Yeah, I mean, come on. All you've got to do is walk down the streets of these third world countries. They see the color of your face, they see the way you're dressed, and immediately the hands come out.
Money.
I want money.
Yeah.
You're a rich American. You can give me money. If you're not a rich American, you're a rich European.
Right.
You're British.
Right.
You're somebody. You come from some place where they have money, and you're filthy rich, and you can give me money.
That's right.
I don't want that spirit.
No.
Okay?
Still here, too.
I can't... I don't know. I can't look different. When I mean, the color of my face, the color of my hair, I can't change it. Yes, my accent gives it away. I open my mouth and it's right there. Now, when you open your mouth, you've got a little bit different accent. But, okay, we'll say, what's the Hispanic spirit? You can help me here. You don't have to talk about yourself. Just what do people think of when they say you're Hispanic?
You are uneducated, lazy.
Oh, lazy. Okay. You take long siestas all day long. You're what?
Like you're lazy, don't do nothing.
Indolent, yeah. Yeah. You're not energetic. You're not a hard worker. Or on the other hand, we could say, well, we Germans, we're hard workers, we're engineers, you know. Boy, you buy a German car, you've got the best there is, you know. I don't need these, I don't need this kind of advertising.
No.
But frankly, I'm not an engineer. I wouldn't know how to design a car engine.
You're in medical field.
Well, if that's translated as helping you, okay. Do any of us have any of these things in our... Oh, I forgot to add alcohol. Do any of us have any of this in our background?
Yeah.
Took a whole bag full of cans down the grocery store.
They weren't yours, though. They still.
No, but you benefited from it.
Yeah, right.
From their throwaway. And then there's the reputation that some people have of, well, they're just... I mean, you go to Germany, and you drive in Germany. You don't find trash on the streets?
No.
No? I mean, the houses... I mean, the local neighborhood would love to have a neighborhood that looked like a German neighborhood.
Maintained
perfectly.
Nothing wrong.
The house, everything has to function perfectly. Yeah. But then there's places you go, you just wade through trash everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Nobody picks anything up.
Yeah. Same thing here.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's over here.
It's a spirit.
Yeah.
No, come. It's a spirit. One spirit can be just as wrong as the other spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If you are so obsessed with your neatness that you can't even function properly, you've got a problem. I mean, if somebody hangs your towel up a little bit crooked...
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, you got to fix it.
That's bad.
I mean, you're obsessed.
Yeah, I hate weeds.
OCD. I hate weeds.
But on the other hand, I can go over to some of these countries where you just, I mean, there's trash. You can't take a step without walking on trash. And I can say, you guys have got a problem. Don't you have any pride in your neighborhood at all? Don't you have any pride? It's another spirit. How are we going to overcome these things? The problem is, we don't see ourselves. We don't know what we are. And if God says, I want you to come out of... come out of what? I want you to... First of all, I want you to come out of your father's house. All right? Well, I'm a Yancey. I mean, we Yanceys, you know? Really?
Well, my father died this year.
I don't want to be known as a Yancey. You know, I think my brothers wanted me to be a very, very much of a Yancey. And I fought this for years. They would have their family gatherings, and boy, when they set their family gathering date, if I didn't show up...
You were in trouble. You were on the list.
I mean... well, let me tell you something else about the Mennonites. And I've done it. I've played it. It's called playing the Mennonite game. You don't know what that is, do you? Playing the Mennonite game, and I probably still have to overcome this, but you meet a stranger, and he says, well, my name is Amos Zimmerman. Ah! Amos Zimmerman, my grandmother was a Zimmerman. What is your father? What is your grandfather's name? What? Oh yes, we're third cousins. This is kindred. This is the pride of kindred. The pride of tracing it back. The pride of writing genealogies.
Well, if there's something wrong with somebody's DNA.
The DNA. Oh yes. Now you can get your DNA analyzed.
Stop.
You can find out where your great 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 grandfather came from.
Right.
I can find out that Livia and I are 14th cousins or something. Oh wow, we're cousins.
It's there.
How are we going to overcome these things?
God's going to deliver it from us.
You see, God wants us to identify ourselves as sons of God.
Right.
That means I'm going to forget all about German. Yeah. I'm going to forget all about Mennonite. I'm going to forget all about Yancey. I'm not going to teach my children that we are Hydes or Yanceys or Skimmerhorns.
Right.
And I'm going to recognize, and we're going to break the hold. We're going to break the hold of alcohol. If your grandfather was an alcoholic, that spirit wants to come down your line. That spirit wants you. That spirit wants one of your children. He'll take a captive. Cheaters. Wheeler dealers. How do you deal with other people? Are you known to be honest and upright in all your dealing? Or do people have a little bit of misgiving after having dealt with you a couple of times? Watch him. Watch him. Dot the I's and cross the T's, boy, because he's going to cheat you if he ever gets a chance.
No.
See, this is in this network. Thieves. You know, there are family lines that I've known. As far as I know, for generations, they're thieves. They live below the horizon a little bit. And they go on generation after generation. The men marry women that support them. They're... They deal with their women in a very uncouth manner. And the women, their fathers were like that. Their grandfathers were like that. And they marry men like that. You say, you know, and they cry. They live a terrible life. And they cry and they say, why do I have to go through this? And you know what? And they get free. They get free of this kind of a man. And guess what? They marry another one, the same kind.
Yeah, they do.
Same kind of guy. Same kind of abusive alcoholic.
Yeah.
Oh, but he was nice. Oh, sure he was. But he's the same kind of guy your father was. He's the same kind of guy your ex-husband was. And it's because you have the same vulnerability to the same kind of spirit. And you haven't gotten a deliverance from it. God wants to set us free from these things. Now, let me just go over to Lot for just a minute. There's so much we could say about this, but I'll move on. Abraham still had a hold on Lot. Or shall we say, Lot still had a hold on Abraham's heart. Okay? Lot makes the decision. Abraham is getting free. When God said to Abraham, way back, I don't know, how old was he? When God said to Abraham, back in Ur, come on out. They came part way out. 10 years, 20 years, I don't know. He says it again at the age of 75 to Abraham. We come up to the days of Lot, and it's some years later, and we know that at the age of 85, Sarah had another plan. Sarah had another plan of how they were going to produce a child. And what did the plan produce? Here, let me put... Abraham is now 85 here. And Ishmael comes along. Finally, when Abraham is 99... Isaac. Is God finished with Abram? Now that he has the promised son,
right.
Now that he has Isaac,
right.
Okay, now he can relax. There's nothing more to overcome. There's no more family ties to overcome, right?
No.
Whoops. What would that be?
Isaac.
Oh, but Isaac is the promise. Surely I can hold on to Isaac. Surely I can make an idol of my son.
No.
I mean, this is God. God gave him to me. He's mine. I can have it. I can... No, God says... And how old was Abraham now when this sacrifice of Isaac...
Oh, he had to be up in 100 and something.
No, Isaac was not 5 years old when he took him up Mount Moriah.
Older.
Yeah, let's say he was about 15.
Yeah, I think
right. All right. So let's put another date here, 115.
Isaac could have overpowered him.
Yes. I think a 15-year-old could overpower a 115-year-old father.
Yeah.
Old as a great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Rita and I are great-grandparents. And we're not anywhere near 115 years old. So, was it right of God to ask him one more time to put family second and God first? Was that just of God?
Yes.
Why was that just?
Because God is just. Anything he asks of us, you're just God.
All right.
You don't have to question it.
Would you have had a problem with that?
I think we all would have felt like him.
Of course.
We all would have felt like he did.
I would have had a problem with that.
I would have. It would have been hard to deal with.
I would have had a problem with that.
Right.
I mean, especially if you've waited all those years.
Right, agree, yeah.
Well, I mean, you've got 15 sons. Just take this one. This is my only begotten son.
Right.
This is, I mean, you made a promise that through me all the nations would be blessed. It'd be like the stars, you know, it'd be like the sand of the sea. And now you want him back? Look, God, we are too old to do this again.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is that Abraham wasn't too old. I forgot to talk about Keturah. After Sarah died, he marries another little woman, and they have 6 more children.
Oh,
okay. What a man.
What?
What a man.
What a man.
Are you jealous yet?
No, I can do
that. No, that's a lot of kids.
No, you can't.
You did have 6 kids.
You're right.
But you're not Keturah. All right, so let's go to Lot here. Go back here to Lot. Chapter 13, it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt. All right, so they went down to Egypt because of the famine. And now he lied about his wife. This is Abraham, the faithful man now. Lies about his wife. He's afraid. He's a fearful man. He's so afraid that he's going to die. Here's a man who has the promise of God. He still doesn't have the promised seed, but he has the promise of God that all the nations are going to be blessed, that his children are going to be like the stars and the sand. And he goes down to Egypt, and he's afraid that he's going to die. If Pharaoh sees his beautiful 65-year-old wife, you don't think Pharaoh could tell she was 65?
Said she was beautiful. These days.
Something about the women of these days that you couldn't tell they were 65.
They lived a long time.
All right. He says, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto a place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, apparently, Lot going down to Egypt with him, Lot's wife apparently didn't draw the attention of Pharaoh like Sarah did. And Lot is younger. He must have had a younger wife, too. Okay? It says, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Now this is what, when you see pictures today of this land, what does it look like?
Desert.
Dry. No water. I mean, you want to grow something, you've got to force feed it with water. But before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it says it was like the Garden of the Lord. It's like Garden of Eden. And so Lot by the way, we can see that Lot did not have the same vision that Abraham did he?
Right.
You see, this is the problem with kindred. Kindred does not have the same vision that we have. Kindred has not heard the same word that we have heard, has not believed the same thing that we have believed. They have a different idea. They have a different idea of what church is. They have a different idea of what the kingdom of God is all about. And they don't understand why you believe the way you believe. We've been through this, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. They don't believe it.
No.
And so Lot looks with his natural eyes and he sees prosperity.
Yeah.
He liked that prosperity message, didn't he? Go down there and look, there's a nice city down there. You can make money in a city. You can become a trader, you know. And there's lots of good customers down there for whatever it is you want to sell. And you're a good salesman. You can make it, Lot. You've got skills, you've got gifts, and you're just going to prosper down there. I mean, there's just customers waiting for your product. And it was also a nice place for his cattle business down there. However, why would Abraham give him a choice like this? I thought Abram was rich. It says that he came out of Egypt, he was rich. Wouldn't he be motivated to protect his prosperity? Wouldn't he say, listen, Lot, I don't care what you do. I'm the one that God gave the word to. You go off in the desert somewhere because I'm taking what's here. This is God's promise to me. This is my Canaan land. All right? I shouldn't have brought you along to begin with. I'm sorry I brought you. So hit the road, Lot. Go. It's mine. No, Abraham didn't think that way, did he? What was it about Abraham? What was it in the book of Hebrews that talks about Abraham? It says that he was looking for another city.
Yeah.
He had eyes. He had heard the voice of God. Right. Somewhere down inside, he heard the call of God, and it changed something in him. Now, as we can clearly see, it took quite a number of years to deliver Abraham. I mean, we start off, say, 65, 75, 85, 100, 115. God is bringing, how many years between here and here? 50 years. Yeah. I'm going to say that it took God probably 50 years to deliver him from the things that he wanted to deliver him. Father's house, kindred, country, and all the other things that went with it. How many of you have been a little impatient with God sometimes in the speed of his delivering you?
What can you do?
You can't.
But can you believe that he is delivering you?
Yes.
Can you believe that you are a changed person?
Yes.
Can you look back 10 years ago? Can you look back 20 years ago and see the man that you used to be, the woman that you used to be?
Yeah.
Would you make the same choices today that you would have made 20 years ago?
No.
Thank God I hear you saying no.
No,
I wouldn't either. I look back at the 1960s, the 1970s, and I look at some of the decisions I made and I think, oh God, why? What did I ever see? Why? Why would I have made such decisions?
We didn't know better.
Oh God, if only I could go back and redo it with a little wisdom that I have gained today. And I'm wondering if Abraham hadn't thought the same thing. At one point, why did I waste 50 years? Why, when I heard the word of the Lord to come out, why didn't I just pack up and go? But I waited. I couldn't let go of this. I couldn't let go of that. I couldn't. And Lot wanted to come with me. And you know, there's places, brethren, maybe not in America, there's places where family is very important. There's places. Well, I'll just say this. The Philippines, for instance. Family. I mean, family, family, family. I mean, family can rob them blind, and they still trust them. I mean, they can ruin you, and you still trust them. You give them anything you can, and they rob you again. Oh, they're my family. They're my sister. They're my brother. Oh, I can't turn against them. The hold. And there was a hold. Yes, that hold still stayed with Lot until finally God had to create a circumstance that was so difficult. Their servants were fighting with one another. They were going to kill one another. If we don't stop this fight, somebody's going to start shooting somebody. They're going to kill each other. And so God forced them into a situation again. Do you see the hand of God here?
Yeah.
God is so intent on delivering this man that he's going to continue to put him in situations that are untenable, that he cannot deal with until he yields and obeys God.
Amen.
And finally, when he got to the Isaac thing, God finally said, "Now I know. Now I know that I have broken that stubborn
donkey."
What line are we going to call this? That stubborn Nahor Terah line of resistance that's been in your soul.
Right.
That I have broken those familial spirits that have followed you from generation to generation.
Yeah.
Now I know, Abram, that I have broken that.
They're in there.
And having broken that, I can now make a nation of people. Can you see, what if God had tried to make a nation out of this fellow here, this Ishmael?
There is one, isn't there?
He'd be fighting worse than the Christians are fighting.
I mean, yeah, when they've annihilated all the Christians and all the Jews, are they going to have peace?
No.
Now they'll start killing one another off. Now they've got Shiites and Buzites and some other ites, you know, that are they'll kill one another.
They're under God.
And then when they get down to one tribe, mm-hmm. they'll still keep killing one another.
Yep.
God couldn't make a nation out of these people. Now we come here. Okay, we don't know much about Isaac, not a whole lot. But when we come down to old brother Jacob here, we know a whole lot. The deliverance process now, it needs to go on to other generations
right.
as well.
Right, amen.
Yes, God's deliverance of Abraham did something good for Isaac and Jacob,
right.
but it didn't do everything.
No.
And you read now the stories of these sons of Jacob. There's some murder in some of these fellows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Levi, for instance. Levi and Simeon were the ones that wiped out the Shechemites. Yeah. Because they violated Dinah, their sister.
Mm.
Well, there might have been another way to deal with it without killing the whole city. This is Levi.
Right.
Hello.
Right.
This is the priesthood.
Yeah. Well, he had a sample.
So, Lot chose him, verse 11, all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Pitched his tent toward Sodom. What's that mean?
He wanted it.
Have any of you ever lived in a tent? No, you haven't lived. Have you camped and spent a few nights in a tent?
No, open air.
Oh, come now.
No.
You've all done that when you were young, haven't you? I used to do that a lot in Alaska. Not in the wintertime, of course, but in the summer. You pitch your tent toward, it means that the door of your tent, when you come out of the tent, that's the first thing you see. See, he's up on a little hill, and maybe a little bit of a mountain. He's on the side of the mountain. He hasn't quite gone down into Sodom yet. But every time he wakes up and comes out of that tent in the morning,
his heart was
Sodom.
That's where his heart was.
And he can't help thinking, Sodom.
Yep.
But you see, the next verse says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
Right.
Let's compare Sodom, or not Sodom, let's compare Lot for just a minute with Abram. We don't have much time. There was something different in Lot. Here's a man that saw a city, and he wasn't satisfied with any other city because none of them measured up to the vision that he had in him.
Amen.
Abraham knew what was in Sodom.
Right.
He knew that. I'm sure he'd been there. He'd seen it. He said, "No, this is not the vision that God put in me. This is not the city. There's some other city that God has for me.
Yeah.
It's somewhere here in Canaan, I think, but I can't find it. And I'm not going to settle for one until I get the real McCoy.
City of God."
I'm going to find that city. Amen. And you see, Lot and his family got so settled in to Sodom that when it came time to leave and it's going to be destroyed, his wife couldn't leave it.
Yeah.
She looks back, longing for it. He had other daughters that were married to Sodomites.
Yep.
So there were a few straight people in Sodom, apparently. He had other daughters. His sons-in-law thought that the old man was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, they were not leaving country. They were not leaving.
Right.
They were getting more deeply ingrained in it.
Right.
Come out. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's a nice little picture, and God is trying to deliver us from these things.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.